your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
All right. Welcome to this In the Country special. We are on location at Paul Melissa's studio. Got some great stories and great songs just ahead with some very special guests tonight, including Paul Melissa, Roger Beckett, Dean Stacey, and Krista Earle. Really looking forward to this. So glad you all could tune in, and so glad everybody is here. We're going to start with Krista Earle from Oakville, Ontario. She has been a guest on the show in the past. Great to see you here, Krista.
Great to see you, too.
Now, you've got a couple of songs that you'll be singing tonight, but let's talk about your career in general. First of all, let's talk about something exciting happening right now, a new single coming out shortly, and a video you have just filmed.
Yeah, so I just shot a music video for my new single, I'm Done. And I actually worked with a really amazing production crew out of Brampton, PGP Studios, and I'm super excited. So it's going to be released towards the beginning of June, and we're also going to release a behind-the-scenes video in the next couple of weeks. So, yeah.
Now, what's the easiest part about shooting a video, and what's the most challenging part?
Well, I don't know. I would say the most challenging part is just to make sure that everything's running smoothly, making sure everything's there, lights, camera, action, everything. But the most fun part would probably be, I don't know if it's all so easy, but it's just fun. Like, I like performing and being on camera and interacting and that kind of thing. So.
And it's important to get the story just right. You know what the story of the song is, but to translate that onto a video.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, that's what I like about doing video as well, is you can really show the story of the song and how you want the song to be portrayed and everything.
Yeah, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, songwriting is a big part of what you do as well. You write a lot of your own music. When did you first start writing songs?
I first started writing songs when I was really young. I wrote just little songs, things like that. But in the last, I'd say 3 years, I got more serious, got back into songwriting and got more serious about it. And, so I wrote my first main single 2 years ago, Bad Hair Day, which, as you know, is released on Canadian radio, which is really cool. So, I'm constantly just songwriting and working with different co-writers and things like that. And I really love doing it and performing. So.
Now, what about being on stage? So you're outside in the studio, now you're on stage. How much do you enjoy that, being in front of a crowd?
That's the best part. For me, that's the best part. Well, I love performing live and putting shows together, and it's the same kind of thing. You really, you're able to take your music and see people's reaction with it and what they love about it, and to see people enjoying your music as much as you've had the pleasure of, writing it and all the hard work that you put into it, and finally you can go out there and actually perform it.
For sure.
That's the most amazing thing.
Now, who's the one person comes to mind now in the music business that you would like to meet? And you just maybe either have lunch with because they seem approachable or get some advice from about, who's that person from the music business you want to spend some time with?
I can think of lots of artists that I would love to sit down with and that I've looked up to, especially in country, like Martina McBride and things like that.
Yeah.
I would love to meet them and have the opportunity to even write or perform with them. That would be amazing.
And you've covered some songs of Martina, Broken Wing.
Yeah,
which people can check out online, and you do that so well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I did that, a couple months ago. So it's one of my favorite songs by her, so I really wanted to do a cover.
What about other cover songs? Can you give us some titles, some of those favorite songs you love to sing?
I did Crazy as well by Patsy Cline.
There's a version online of that.
Yeah, that's kind of a classic one, so I had a lot of fun doing that one as well, kind of making it a bit more... with a bit of a modern twist, so unique enough to the original, but something a little bit
different. It's such a timeless song, you can do it differently.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do it different ways, which is what great songs can have done to them, right? Changed around?
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to turn to a song now that you're going to sing for us here, a song called Surrender.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about this song.
So this song actually was written by you,
Dave
Woods,
and
Barry Brown as well. And I believe Barry Brown's in Nashville.
He's actually in Ontario, in Ottawa.
Right now? Oh, okay.
Yep, and he's written songs. He was with the Family Brown, Prescott Brown, wrote a bunch of huge hits with Charlie Major. I'm going to drive you out of my mind being one of them. And a bunch of other songs for artists So I've had the chance to write for him for quite a while, and this was a song we wrote, and I sent it to you, and
when you first said it, I knew right away. It's just one of those things. Sometimes you hear a song, and you know it's a song that you want to sing and love. I know when I first heard it, it actually kind of made me emotional. Like, you know, like I almost wanted to cry because it was beautiful. So I knew right then and there that it was something that I wanted to sing. And yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you for the opportunity.
It's a great honor for me. Yeah, to have you like the song and to sing it. And
yeah.
She's going to share it. She's going to, and I didn't put her up to this.
No.
She's not. Okay. This is Krista Earle with Surrender on In the Country.
There's a look I can't resist in your eyes tonight. The timing is right. I've been scared to get this close so many times before, but I'm not afraid.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
That is so great. I could see and hear you get into the emotion of the song.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's why I love singing the songs, because it feels like it's coming from me. And when I first heard the song, yeah. And like I said, I knew I wanted to sing it. I love it.
That's great. Great job on it. And we're going to be coming back to Krista a bit later for another special song she'll be sharing. I want to thank Les Graham, who is here tonight. He's recording our sound. Also here tonight, we've got Roger Beckett, Dean Stacy, and Paul Melissa. And, of course, we are at Paul's studio in Mississauga, Ontario. Let's turn over to Roger now. Roger, let's talk about your start in music. Take us back to when the music bug first hit you.
I've been playing guitar since, I think I was like 8 years old, when I actually found a little notebook with three chords in it. I still remember it was like A, D, and E. I couldn't figure out what it was, but I thought, oh, maybe those six lines in there are actually the strings, and
wow.
I didn't know what they were called, but I thought maybe those dots are where you put your fingers.
Really cool.
Yeah, and so that's how actually I learned to play guitar, because I didn't have a guitar, but come from a family of six kids, and I'm the youngest, and my eldest brother had a guitar, so I just, when they weren't around, I would take his guitar and try and play it. But I was very tiny, and my hands wouldn't go around the guitar, and my fingers hurt, but no one knew I actually could play anything. So.
Nobody knew you could play for a while?
Well, no, because I would never play, because I didn't have a guitar, so
right.
I would take someone else's, right? So nobody actually knew I was playing till I think one day they were all playing, and, you know, I was playing around, and they suddenly realized that the little kid is playing. And so that's basically where I was. And
that's great.
I kind of started, I'm largely self-taught.
So was your family musical at all? You had a brother who had a guitar, but did anybody else pursue music?
Yeah, well, I guess growing up, that's all we did. We kind of played every evening. We would gather together and play songs, and we would play what we heard on the radio. And I think what we used to do is we used to write the lyrics of the songs that we heard on the radio, and we would write them.
Cool way of doing it.
Yeah,
so you'd transcribe them, basically.
We would transcribe it, because nobody actually had songbooks. So we would actually write our own, we'd all make our own songbooks, right? And generally, the girls all had the best handwriting, so we would all get our songs transcribed by most of the girls, our sisters and all that. And actually, you know, what's funny is... I was growing up at boarding school, and I actually still have one of my songbooks that somebody actually drew for me and put glitter in the front, a guy playing guitar, and all that. I still have that book.
That is cool. That's a great memory. Now, who are some of those artists then you were listening to back then that influenced you and you thought you'd like to try to do what they're doing?
The first song actually I ever learned to play was, I don't know if any people remember that, but it was a song called Chirpy Chirpy Cheep Cheep. You remember that?
I'm not sure if I recall that one. What chart did that get big on?
Does anybody remember that song?
Anybody here remember that? No? Okay.
Who
did that one?
I don't actually remember.
That was an early Elton John song.
No, it was a big song, and it was really hard to play because the chord changes were really fast.
Right.
And but I kind of figured it out, and then one day I think it was, I played it at a fair. There was like one of these little country kind of fairs, and I played there, and they said, does anybody want to get up on stage? And I said, sure, I'll go. And you should see the look on my sister's face. And my aunt, they're like, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And so I show up on stage there, and I play my songs, and this band says, can you play another one? And I kept playing another one, and then I wouldn't get off the stage, and then they actually got to come physically and take me off the stage, you know, because I wouldn't leave.
So a moment like that gets you right into it. You realize you want to keep doing that, having that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, I've always, music has always been, like, basically who I am.
Yeah.
And I think if I can't write and if I can't play, then even though I don't do enough as much as I would like to, but I think it's not me. I wouldn't be living, basically.
It's who you are, right? It's
absolutely.
You want people to know you as. How many songs would you say you write in a given month?
Well, probably about 3-4. I keep writing songs, and then I keep rewriting them. And I have bits and pieces of songs that I would write, and things come to me as I'm, you know, walking, taking the GO train, driving, you know, reading the papers. I think you can get ideas for songs.
Yeah.
And I tend to write about things that affect me and the kind of the world around us and issues. So if you have my songs always tend to deal with a lot of that. I have a song about bullying, an anti-bullying song.
Okay.
I have a song about violence against women and all those type of. So I write about issues that, I guess, current issues or things.
So that's great. And obviously, by doing that, you'll get feedback from people who hear them and it might resonate in their life. Either they know somebody going through that or they just appreciate what you're doing with your music, right?
Oh, absolutely. I actually played some of the songs when I went to Nashville in October, actually, in the music festival that I attended.
So did you get some feedback afterwards?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I was finished playing, people would all come and talk to me and chat to me and ask me about my songs. And it was my first time ever in Nashville and I had a great time.
Now, you had a chance recently, I saw online, to meet up with Dan Hill.
That's
great,
correct.
Canadian singer-songwriter we all know sometimes when we touch, and multiple songs way beyond that. I've had the chance to interview him, and he's beyond his singing. Songwriting is what he is so great at and has had much success at. So talk about meeting Dan Hill in that whole time.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, Dan's a great guy, and I workshopped my songs actually a couple of times with him. Some years ago, actually, he was on a panel for they had this contest, this Radio Star contest, the radio... where they would pick songs across Canada, and then they would pick regional songs. And so in the Toronto one, I actually went to the workshop, and I'd been there for like, I think it was the third year I'd attended, and they picked songs at random to be heard by this panel.
Right.
It's an industry panel. There's Dan Hill and a whole bunch of other people from publishing houses and all. And finally, in the third year, when Dan Hill was there, my song got picked. And it was like, I was so excited to hear my song and play on this PA in front of like 200 people. And they generally only would play a chorus and a verse and a chorus.
Yeah.
And after the verse and chorus, Dan Hill said, "Wow, I really like that song." And he gave me all this great feedback and was like so excited in front of all these people, right, that he had actually said that. And then I met Dan subsequently quite a few times over that. We become friends over time.
Oh, that's great.
So yeah, so I've met him quite a few times now, and then recently I was at another date with the demo thing where you take your songs and the critique, and him, Dan and Adeline was doing the critique.
Okay.
And I took another one of my songs, and he said it was great, and he asked me to make some changes. And I did make the changes that he suggested, and I'm going to play that song, actually.
Oh, good. We're going to get to that.
Tonight, yeah.
Yeah, Roger, so what advice would you give? You've obviously learned a lot through people like Dan Hill mentoring you and all the experience you've had. What advice would you give to somebody listening who's starting to write songs, maybe a don't and a do? Something they shouldn't do in the song and something they should try to do.
Well, I think one of the things that that they should do, especially any songwriter, beginning songwriter, is to have an open mind and to be able to accept something that someone who's way more experienced or has done it for a long time has to tell you, and you know, make changes. You have to be able to do that, because I find a lot of beginning songwriters, they're very close to their songs and they
don't want to change a word, right, or a line. It's
right.
They think it's finished and
exactly.
It doesn't need improving.
Right. And, you know, I mean, we all know that everything can get better and be better.
Yeah.
And, so I think that's one of the things I would tell people to do. Not to do, I'm not really sure.
Is there anything that, like, cliches they should avoid or just in general?
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's you try and do things in, like, in a new way, in a fresh way. And,
yeah.
I mean, we're kind of saying the similar things. We write love stories and, you know, about love. And
that's all. Right.
We could say things and in different ways, and I think if we all look, because each one of us brings our own perspective, we're all different.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Our own perspectives, you know, over here, we come from different places, and we've had various experiences in life, and I think if we use that and put ourselves and use the things that we know in our songs, that I think will be great. I mean, we'd have all these great songs that are saying the same thing, but are saying it differently.
That's right, yeah, based on what we've lived, how we've gotten through a tough time.
That's right.
And it comes out in our music. So what are you going to share with us tonight, Roger?
I'm going to play a song. It's called Women of My Life, and
okay.
It's the song that I took at the date with the demo with Dan Hill, and he had some changes, and Adeline also had some, so I took it back and rewrote my song and added some lines back in there. And yeah, so I'm going to play that.
Okay, so Roger Beckett is about to perform a song for us over at the piano. And I'm just going to remind our listeners, we are at Paul Melissa's studio in Mississauga, Ontario. It's a beautiful place here. A big round of applause for Paul's studio. There are pictures. There are pictures on the wall of albums, you know, albums hung up. There's guitars. There's a piano here. There's a drum set. It's just a beautiful place for music to come together. And we got a great bunch of people here. Roger Beckett is warming up there at the piano. I'll let Roger take it away.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Sometimes I sit and wonder when she's coming home. We can be together, both of us alone. Nothing between us, we go on and on. Talk about the times we shared, but we had just begun.
That's a beautiful song.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, when you write a song like that, are you sometimes thinking about who else could record that as far as a big name to pitch it to, or is that just a personal song that you're going to sing?
If somebody would love to record that, that would be wonderful.
Roger, we got another song from you coming up a bit later. And all these artists are from Ontario, from different parts of Ontario, so it's great to have them here. We got Krista Earle, Roger Beckett, Dean Stacey, and Paul Melissa. More great music on the way. A very special edition of In the Country. We are on location at Paul Melissa's studio in Mississauga. We're going to turn now to Dean Stacey. Hey, Dean.
Hello.
That's Dean Stacey, everybody, and he is from
Woo!
Guelph, Ontario.
Woo!
Guelph is in the house. Dean is going to share a song with us in a few moments. Dean, let's start off talking about some of your influences. Who are those musical heroes of yours that you started to listen to and got excited about making music the way they do?
God, influences? That would be anybody I've ever heard and liked.
Wide range.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to a really wide range of music over the years.
So is any specific artist? I know what you mean. It's so many different influences we all have. It's hard to like say it's just one. What about a favorite singer of yours that you look up to, or you just really like listening to their stuff?
Well, most recently, I'm into some of these new guys like Eric Church and Lee Bryce and Luke Bryan and some of those guys.
Yeah,
I like what they're doing now. One of my big heroes as a writer is Jeffrey Steele.
He is a huge writer, to say the least.
He's the man. Or at least one of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's few of them who are big. He's obviously one of those guys with the group Boy Howdy in the past, success mm-hmm. as a solo artist, and, I mean, he's written hits from Rascal Flatts to Tim McGraw, and you name it, he's written it. What do you think is his key to his success about his songs? That why is everybody recording them?
They're just really good songs. I don't know how else to put it. The man
That's
knows
a good
how to
answer.
Write a song.
Yeah. Is there anything about those songs, do you think, like,
they're
why
real.
Is it his style? They're real.
They're real. I mean, they're real stories.
Yeah.
They hit you.
Now, is the simplicity coming into play? We were talking before the show.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you're talking with Jeffrey Steele, and simplicity sometimes is something that stands out in a song.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's just the most simple thing, said the most simple way at the right time, yeah. that it's just going to hit you like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. Can you think of a song, I won't ask you for a specific line because that's tough to come up with, but a specific song that really hits you, one that either you cover or whether it's Jeffrey wrote it, what's a song out there now that is just killing you?
I Drive Your Truck.
Yeah.
Lee Bryce song. That's full of emotion. And it's, like you say, it's a simple song.
Yeah.
There's not too much complicated about it.
It's so powerful.
Definitely.
I mean, the first time I heard it, you know, the first time you hear a song, I thought he was talking about his dad, and it could be about his dad,
mm-hmm.
but it's about his brother,
mm-hmm.
and I think his brother had gone off to war, but it is such a beautiful song. And what I like about it, too, is it's so many songs are about love, you know, heartbreak, but this is between brothers.
It's a so different it's, kind of heartbreak.
Yeah, which yeah. is nice. It's nice to have a song outside of...
Coming at it from a different angle.
Yeah. Now, what song are you going to share with us the first time around here, Dean?
I think I'm going to do Sunrise.
Very nice. Now, this is a song you composed on your own?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's one of those little things. I was having kind of a restless night one night, and I got to thinking about all the different things in life that can have you losing sleep.
Right. Very nice. Dean Stacey on In the Country.
Dark, staring at the ceiling. Lying next to me, I hear you gently breathing. Man, I've gone and done it this time. Boy, I've really crossed the line. Best friends under the influence of alcohol and excess, looking for more. Next thing I know, clothes start hitting the floor. There's something we should have done when we first met. I won't be getting much sleep tonight, waiting on the sunrise, waiting on the sunrise. 4 a.m. and we're due, I can hardly believe it. Holding on to your hand, helping you with your breathing. They tell me it's all gonna be fine. We're moving right along on time. Word is by 6 a.m. we should have a brand new little one. It scares me, this new road that we're on. sleep tonight. Waiting on the sunrise. Waiting on the sunrise. Now I'm in this hospital again, staring at the ceiling, praying to God. We all did at one time. What's it gonna be when morning comes? Are you sticking around a while, or will you have to move on? Doctor said by morning light, if you're still here, everything might be alright. I'm losing sleep again tonight. When I hear you gently breathing, I think it's gonna be alright, and I'm looking forward to the sunrise.
Beautiful song from Dean Stacy called Sunrise. Love that song. Now we're going to head to Paul Melissa, the man himself. We are in his studio in Mississauga, and it's a great place. We had a great meal earlier as we got warmed up for this evening. Of course, this is In the Country. Krista Earle's on the show tonight. Roger Beckett, Dean Stacy, and we are with Paul Melissa now. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great.
Awesome.
It's a wonderful time we've got here. Let's talk about you, Paul, of course. When you started in music, when did you first get so influenced by music that you just had to get right into it and start performing and writing?
When I was 6 years old.
Wow. Going back a ways. What happened at six?
My mom and dad got me a guitar, and I started taking music lessons in Toronto, and that's all where it began. It was just, I had an aunt that was, she was the lead singer for the band at the Royal York Hotel in Toronto, had her own 78 record.
Oh, wow.
And there was all this excitement about, you know, hearing that as a kid and everything like that. I had grandparents that played I had a grandfather that played accordion. My father played the violin as a kid, so it was always surrounded by me. Music, it was always in our lives.
Yeah. I guess it becomes second nature for a young person when it's around them, right? They know that, and they're going to gravitate towards it.
Oh, well, you hear it. And then I think the most exciting thing for me was is when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I had already taken a few guitar lessons, and I was invited to play at the school gym in Toronto.
Right.
In front of 500 people, and I got two of my buddies to sing with me together, and we did Proud Mary in front of the whole school, and it was like,
oh,
wow, this is exciting.
Yeah.
And I go, I like this.
Now, what about songwriting? Like, when did you write your first original song?
I was probably in my teenage years. You know, it's that time of your life when you meet a girl and you write a song about somebody or somebody you care about or something that didn't go right. Usually what happens, and that's usually what happens is something, you know, as Roger was saying earlier and talking about, you know, life experiences and how it's something that affects you and you just write about it. It's an emotion. It's an amazing charge that happens to your body, so you write about this emotion.
It's a form of therapy in a way, isn't it? Not that you set out to do it that way, but when you're done writing something to that person, you feel better afterwards.
Yeah,
you
know
what,
it's interesting that you say that because I was thinking about that. We were talking about that a little while ago about, you know, people that have gone wrong in life and how they need to express their feelings and emotions and how cool it would be to set up these songwriting sessions for people that have had bad experiences in their lives.
Interesting.
Sit there and go, why don't you just open up your heart a little bit, and whether it was something from a bad relationship or something you did wrong in your life, explain it to me. Tell me about it. Maybe we can write a song about it, and I think their emotions will come out a little stronger about that.
I think that's a great idea. I did hear an interview about something to do with sad songs on the radio recently, and we don't get sadder when we hear them. It expresses it for us. It's either that or not letting it out. So when we hear a song that's emotional, it helps us release something.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Now, you've had a chance over the years, I know, to meet some of your musical heroes, and one of them being Phil Collins.
Yeah.
We had talked about this on the show before. Phil Collins, and you covered one of his songs in the air tonight, so how was that when you had an exchange with him?
I did. You know, I did. It was actually, I mean, for me, it's been very exciting because when I did the remake of In the Air Tonight, it was downloaded around the world, and I've got, you get your statements every so often, you know, and it says, oh, it's downloaded in New Zealand, China, Japan, and all this stuff. So it's pretty cool that you're going, wow, other people are downloading the song around the world. But to have met him, I was with my girlfriend and my sister. We were at this private interview with Phil Collins, and it was really cool just meeting him. And actually, he's been an idol of mine my whole life because I've always loved Genesis and everything like that.
Yeah.
And when I finally got a chance to meet him, and he actually gave me permission to record any song of his anytime I want in this while he was in this interview,
wow,
because some people were shouting out my name to him. Hey, have you ever... You know, heard of Paul Melissa's song In the Air Tonight that he redid, and he goes, yeah, I got your CD in the back, and so it was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun.
That's
but
awesome.
He was quite a gentleman, and it was quite a thrill to meet him.
Yeah, he's got such a great voice and so many great songs throughout his career.
Yeah.
Other cover songs, what are some of your favorites, Paul?
Oh, wow. I like so many. It's so hard. There's a huge pile of songs I like. You know, cover songs is something I like to do, but I try to stick to originals.
Right.
I really do. I find that pouring my heart into original songs right now has been the direction I want to go.
Now, when you're pouring out your heart in some of these songs at the Moonshine Cafe, as NSAI has a regular monthly session, their songwriting session, is it vulnerable sometimes when you're pouring out, say, a new song that you've written that's very personal to you? Is that ever tough because you're revealing yourself?
Sometimes it is, you know, as Dean was saying earlier, it's kind of interesting how you get the butterflies before you go on stage and you talk about that sort of thing. So you get excited about this new song you're going to release, but the best part about it is it's exciting. It's really exciting as an artist to release a new song that, that you've written or co-written with somebody and you're excited to see what the reaction is from the audience. That's the cool part about
it. Right.
Because you want to see where, you know, are they really into it like you are? You know,
yeah.
And if they are, it's cool. And, you know, sometimes you might write something you might think is just phenomenal and you might go, wow, the audience is okay with it. You know, there's a few claps and all that. And then other times you might get everybody involved and they're going like, and you're going, it's a good feeling. Like, it's a really good feeling when you've got that audience strength coming back at you.
You can tell that they've enjoyed the song and they're into it, right? When you look out
The
crowd, yeah.
For sure you can. It's really cool. Yeah, so that butterfly feeling goes away. Once you get into it, it's that initial start. It's always that first song. If you know you're going to play four or five songs in a Nashville songwriter set, that it's that first song that's like, okay, I got to get this over with because, you know, you want to get going with the set. And then as soon as you got your first song out of the way and a few other people sing their songs, then once they're done, you feel better about your second because you're warming up. It's like anything. It's like an athlete. You've warmed up. You're ready to go. Okay, now I'm ready to go.
Now, I haven't given you time to think about this, so I'm just going to put you on the spot. What's the most interesting way you've got a song idea? Whether it's a title or an idea, is there a certain situation you've been in that sparked it more than the general run-of-the-mill ways you would get a song idea?
Well, actually, it's funny, because the song that I'm going to sing for you right now is called Crazy on You. And it was one night I was sitting down at my girlfriend's place, and we were just talking about not much life, you know, in general and different things. And she said something to me about being a little crazy about being in love or something like that. And I just started playing the guitar and strumming some notes. And before you know it, I've got the song called Crazy on You. So
right on the spot. Isn't that something?
So it happens.
Yeah, it happens, right? You can, somebody will say something as in that case and it sparks. And you've had that happen to you a few times, which I find really cool, where you've mentioned something and somebody has said, you got to write that down.
Oh yeah.
A plane ride. Was one that you mentioned, plane trip.
Yeah, I actually, we were on a plane trip back from Nashville when I was performing there last year, and I was sitting beside this guy who was actually a war veteran in the Iraqi war, and we were just sitting there talking about life, and I don't know how we got on the topic, but he said to me, he said, you know, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a songwriter, and he said to me, he says, wow, he says, I got a story for you. And he just opened up to me and he started talking and he said to me, he says, yeah, he goes, I sold my car for a woman and a guitar. So I go, there's a song.
And is he going to get some royalties out of that one?
I hope not.
We will never mention his name because we don't know who it is now, right?
That's right.
Yeah, isn't that something, right? That's
but it awesome. Happens, you know. Yeah. It's, there's a million scenarios where you're in a car driving along and something comes to you. And I had the pleasure of meeting during Canadian Music Week, meeting Paul Williams.
Right.
And he's the president of ASCAP. And I had a one-on-one mentoring with him, and I said something to him, and he said, "Could you write that down, please? I like that." So you'd never know.
You never know. Paul Williams, yeah. The huge singer-songwriter from the 70s.
Yeah.
What is it, Rainbow Connection?
Yeah, and he wrote the...
I'm thinking of the Evergreen song.
Yes.
For Barbara Streisand.
No, but what did he write? Wasn't it for... Was it Barbara Streisand?
Evergreen? She did Evergreen.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And tons of other songs.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so big throughout. There's actually a documentary now about his life.
That's Muppets. Cool.
And the Muppets, yeah. A lot of people remember him from the Muppets. That's cool. So what song are you going to share? I think you talked about it a moment ago, Crazy on You.
Yeah,
is
we're
going to
do Crazy on You. It's a brand new song that I co-wrote with the gentleman, John Christensen, that I'm co-writing my entire new CD.
That's amazing.
Called I'm Country in the City.
Love the title.
And, so we wrote the song together, and it's brand new. And actually, I've got to tell you something, because this is really exciting.
Okay.
The lady that actually we plug our music to in Nashville, we sent her a real raw cut of the song. And the first thing she said to me, she goes, "Those are in-your-face, raw emotion songs that are some of her favorites." And she actually was telling me the story about a guy that was, they had a cut called Making Memories of You, of a new artist, a few years back, that they got him a Sony deal to record with Sony.
Yeah.
And he actually turned it down, and it broke her heart. And then later on, Keith Urban took the song and made it a huge hit. And she goes, and she basically sent me a note back, and she goes, "So goes the music business."
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Wow, what company to have that song in.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And John is here with us tonight.
He is.
He's in our audience, which is great. So you guys are doing a lot of writing.
We're doing a lot of writing right now, and it's an amazing relationship. That's all I can tell you.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Well, let's hear this beautiful song now, Crazy on You, from Paul Melissa on In the Country.
I'm crazy. It's a roller coaster crazy. It's the thunder from above. It's the woman that surrounds me. It's a crazy thing called love. I'm crazy on you. I'm so 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 crazy on you.
All right. A beautiful song from Paul Melissa, Crazy on You. And in fact, we are at his studio in Mississauga, Ontario. It's in the country on location. So you're talking about pitching that song, Paul. Who do you hear in your mind or on your dream list of who you'd like to hear record that?
Keith Urban.
Right on.
That would be awesome. Oh, he's got it. I it's funny because you say that. I sent an email today to the lady that's plugging our music, and I said, are you on this? Because send it to Keith Urban.
Awesome.
At Capitol. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I could hear him doing that. That's,
I know.
That's his style. Yeah.
And it's weird because when you write a song, you actually, you feel certain artists, you kind of go, you know what, that's the one that could do this song.
Sure.
And you hope.
Yeah. You hope, a lot of hope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, after you submit the song. That is very cool. We're going to get to Krista Earle in a few moments, and actually she's going to join you on a song. We have a special treat coming up in a few moments. So let's talk about Tin Pan North, which is a big event coming up, because this is a big thing to do with, it's all about songwriting. Tell us a bit about it, Paul, and just how exciting this is.
Well, Tin Pan North is the 14th annual event this year, from the 23rd to the 25th in Toronto. And there's also going to be an event at the Oakville location, too, the Moonshine Cafe.
Nice.
And so we're very privileged this year to have the Canadian Hall of Famer Michelle Wright performing not only at the Cadillac Lounge on Friday, but also to be performing at Hughes Room on Saturday night this year.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a really big name. Our listeners can head to nsaitoronto.com. There's a section there, Tin Pan North. They can learn about tickets and other information. But let's throw out some other names of people who are going to be there that weekend.
Paul Melissa and Dean Stacey.
That's at the top of the list.
Well, we got to keep plugging
They're
ourselves.
They're a hot new duet, hot new duo.
That's correct. But also will be Steve Bogart, who will be performing. He's coming up. And on the main evening, the main gala show at Hughes Room, will be Bruce Michael Miller, James Gordon, Steve Bogart, Mark Beeson, and as well as Michelle Wright. And there's also two other names to be announced.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's always a lot of big names there, a lot of names from the industry who are successful songwriters and so forth. And I know on the Saturday, I've been to this a couple of times, there's a great day. It's a seminar. People can... Singer-songwriters can have a chance to have their song critiqued, which is always cool, by a panel of experts, and then they break people off into different groups to learn about different aspects. So that's a great day, isn't it, as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, on that day, there's also going to be, it's called Music Row North Presenters, and we're privileged to have Deborah Wood.
Yeah, and, great publicist, and connected to Michelle Wright, her publicist, for many years.
Yes, and James Linderman is coming. And as well as there are a few to be named. And we're really excited also about the Saturday gala host will be Bill Toffin from KX94.7, who's going to be hosting
Ray
the evening.
Ray Toff will be there.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Of That's... Toff and Melissa.
That's very good. That's going to be an awesome time. And basically Tin Pan North is all about songwriting. That's the focus on it, right? Just how important the song is to the music community.
Yep. Yep. Actually, Dean, do you want to say a bit about Tin Pan North?
What would you like me to say?
It's the comedy routine of Dean and Paul.
I'm very grateful to NSAI for Tin Pan North. There's a lot of opportunities that come out of that people, that songwriters wouldn't necessarily otherwise have. I mean, last year I shared the stage with Rob Crosby, who wrote Concrete Angel.
Yeah,
for Martina McBride, and that was awesome. sitting there doing my song, and as well as you.
And, we're doing it again this year.
Yeah, we are.
On the stage.
Yeah.
Satellite Lounge in Toronto.
Cool.
It's exciting.
But it's great. I mean, you're up there, and I've got Rob Crosby doing harmonies on my song. It's like, how cool is that?
Yeah. What an opportunity. And this is put on by the NSAI, National Songwriters Association International, Toronto branch, obviously, and there's branches throughout, obviously, the
Global.
States and Canada. And what's that?
Global.
Global, exactly. It's everywhere. So, and they give you this opportunity. It's so important to have an organization like that and the various chapters, right? Because they help you with the songwriting. And they offer critiques, which is very, very important.
There's great learning resources with NSAI, and, both online and with the meetings.
People should check them out online. They'll learn a lot. And it's Tin Pan North coming up May 23rd through the 25th. Head online to find out more details. Once again, our sound is being recorded here by Les Graham, lesgraham.ca. And Paul, he's working on a project with you.
Yes, he is. He's working on my new CD called I'm Country in the City.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We've got the entire CD, as I mentioned earlier. I'm co-writing with John Christensen. Did you want to talk to John at all? John has actually he's written some songs back in the 70s, and we connected through his wife. We met, and we've written a lot of songs. Actually, every song on this new CD is we've written together, and it's been a great experience. And we're excited about the project. We've got, I think, currently right now, 8 songs in Nashville being plugged, and we've got 4 more that we're actually working on right now to be plugged again in Nashville.
That's awesome. Really exciting. So much talent in this room. It's hard to believe you guys all fit in here. John, John is turning the microphone away. Paul is turning it towards him. John, you were telling me some great stories earlier about your time in Nashville in the 70s. Can you just tell us how cool that was to be there and when some things started to happen for you?
Yeah, that was cool.
He's a man of few words with many lyrics. Now, did you have the chance, from what you told me before, an encounter with Ronnie Millsap, pitching songs or talking songs? How did that go?
Back in the 70s, I knocked on doors down in Nashville to sell my music.
Yep.
And one of the studios was Ronnie Millsap, and among others. So, and that was a time when they were really looking for lyricists. It was a great time.
An exciting time, right? That's when, I mean, the songs were just flowing out and they were in need of songs, and really exciting time for a songwriter.
Absolutely. And there wasn't the just the amazing talent you get today in Nashville. You go to Nashville and there's so much good quality stuff down there. And today it's just kind of never ending.
Well, it's great to have you here, John, and so exciting the songs you and Paul are writing, and Les Graham is recording for Paul Melissa's upcoming CD. So we're going to turn back to Krista now. And in fact, we have Krista and Paul Melissa who are going to treat us to a very special duet. They performed this at the Moonshine Cafe, and they've actually been in the studio recording it too, which is very exciting. But let's turn to Paul can tell us about the song. He wrote this song. And your co-writer is John, with John, who we just heard from. So Paul and John wrote this song. Krista and Paul are going to sing it. Tell us a bit about it, Paul.
Well, actually, John came to me with the song called The Hurtful Kind, and with the lyrics, and he said, "What do you think?" And we actually sat down here in my home studio and with the words, and I just started writing some music to it. And I just came up with this idea of where I thought the song should go. And, of course, you know, when you're co-writing with somebody, there's always the odd word you want to change because you need your own little piece of everything, right? So that's what happens. It's like when I write something, John changes a few words, and
right.
Part of this relationship. And then I went to Les and I said, "Look, I've got the song." And another gentleman by the name of Ray Walsh that writes music with us came up with this beautiful, I wrote the guitar for it, but he came up with this beautiful piano piece that we thought was perfect for the song. And originally the song was written to be plugged as just sung one way.
Okay.
And then John actually heard Krista singing one night, and he said, "Paul," he said, "you know, it would be really cool if you guys did the song as a duet." So what happened was we lyrically changed the song to the present tense of each person speaking. So the part that the male needed to speak and the part that the female needed to speak in the song, we need to change that lyrically,
right?
Because before it was just the guy talking about the song. So we wanted it to be the guy and the girl talking about the song. So that's what we did, and we came up, and it was pretty easy to change, but so we just did that.
That's cool how it started out, what it started out as, and became a duet.
Yeah.
I love duets. I mean, I always ask artists who they want to do a duet with, because I think it's great when two voices come together, and in this case, your two voices. It just creates something beautiful, and your voices blend so well together.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to hearing this, so let's treat the room to The Hurtful Kind, Paul Melissa, and Krista Earle on In the Country.
I picked her up, arriving late, knowing that couldn't wait. I had plans she didn't see, to steal the love that I sold her.
He tore my heart, I heard the news. He didn't love me, what's the truth? How it fell and come and dance like faded colors on the run.
Love is hopeful, love is blind. Love can be the hurtful kind. The only deeds that we have left can live inside your sorrow. Love is hopeful, love is blind. Love can be the hurtful kind. But love will let you find tomorrow.
Left my helm, drove to town. My friend was there to calm me down. I talked about the boy I loved and how it's leaving, left me.
They talked about the yesterdays, how dreams can die, changing ways, to take a breath and feel your song, to wind you back where you belong. Love is hopeful, love is blind. Love can be the hurtful kind. The only days that we have left can live inside your sorrow. Love is hopeful, love is blind. Love can be the hurtful kind, but love will let you find tomorrow. I left behind a tattered dreams, tossed some memories in a stream, hoping that all this pain would not overtake her.
I was young and I've seen all. I traveled down love's broken road, an empty space where promise grew, an empty heart I also knew.
Love is hopeful, love is blind. Love can be the hurtful kind. The only days that we have left can live inside your sorrow. Love is hopeful, love is blind. Love can be the hurtful kind. But love will let you find tomorrow.
Let you find tomorrow.
That was so beautiful.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that was just great. So moving, the voices together, the melody, everything about it. It's such a beautiful song.
Well, thank you.
I could hear it almost as a soundtrack to a movie.
You know what? It's got one of those. You know, it's actually being plugged right now to the TV show Nashville.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Which is
really cool. And I just, it's funny because once we finished it, I said to John, I go, this is a TV show song. It's a school or a movie or something.
Yep, one of those. It definitely could. I could see scenes going on behind it while that's playing.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful.
Well, thanks, Dave.
Really enjoyed that. Krista, before we leave your segment here, I want to ask you about acting. I know that you've obviously in your videos, and we talked earlier before the show about some acting ideas you have or goals.
Yeah.
So talk about that. What you like about it.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. Well, no, I've also, growing up, I did a lot of acting and performance and dance and everything. So I can. There's a lot of different things as far as performance and the arts that I love.
Yeah.
Music's number one for me and dancing. But as we talked earlier, I think we were talking about as far as my music video went.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's one thing that I love to put into my. It's funny because when I write a song and when I know it's a song that I really want to push, whether it's releasing as a singer or something like that, I kind of write it as I see the video as I'm writing it. Like, I'm a very visual person when I'm writing.
So as you're writing the lyrics, you're seeing the story unfold.
Yeah, I'm seeing, like, as if I was, it's kind of a funny thing, but as if I was acting it out.
Okay.
Like, I see, I'm a very visual person, so that's why it was really exciting with the music video, because I, working with this production crew, I had a lot of say in exactly, like, the storyline, what we did, and adding lots of my own sense of humor into it. Like, you know, funny little things that make
any
it
any slapstick,
very,
you're tripping,
yeah,
and that kind
yeah,
of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but, like, that's the thing. It's completely true to me. I don't take myself too seriously. And
that's great.
I have my clumsy moments, for sure. That's just how I am. So, but, yeah. So I put that. That's what I love to put into
videos. Videos are so important to songs, right? Because it tells the other side of the story, or at least it helps explain the song, and it brings another dimension to it.
Yeah, you want to do your best to make sure you know your, I guess, your vision of the song is portrayed in your video.
Yeah, because sometimes, I mean, we've all had this experience, we'll see a video and we love the song, but it could happen either way. You see the video and you think, well, that doesn't make any sense, and it takes away from the song, or maybe you sort of like the song, you see the video, and it kind of makes you like the song more, so it can work both ways.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really cool.
In your case,
video is going to be like number one with a bullet.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So, it's one thing about this video compared to past videos I've done, it's really true to exactly, what I love, and it's very country glam. So there's going to be lots of sparkle and fun and lots of, like, there's even dancing in it and everything like that, choreographed dancing. So it's unique and it's different and something that I'm excited.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Really
I had
exciting.
A lot of fun shooting it. So.
Now, what advice, Krista, would you give to somebody, say, in their teens, guy or gal who's looking to get into music? What kinds of things should they do? Should they take singing lessons? Should they take music lessons, to perfect what they already know?
Yeah, I think, for me, when I kind of started, I don't know, like we talked about a little bit earlier when you talked with Paul about like how we got started. I always was surrounded with music, so it was something that all my family, my relatives, they play instruments. So something I got into really soon. And when I was 7, I made the I started piano when I was 6. And then I was given the decision whether or not I wanted to take piano or vocal, and I wanted to sing. I just knew I always wanted to sing, be a singer, no matter what it was. So. So I started taking lessons when I was 7. So I don't know, as far as it goes, I think it just comes from passion. I mean, I think it's good to, it's always a learning experience, though, because, I mean, I've had lots of vocal training and whatnot, but I think you're always learning new things and developing and no matter, I don't think it's how old you are either. I think you always can learn something new.
Sure, and improve on what talent you already have.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's great. Krista Earle, who joins us from Oakville, Ontario. We're at Paul Melissa's studio in Mississauga, Ontario, on location within the country, a very special show tonight. It's kind of like a songwriting round. We're getting to hear these songs done unplugged and get the stories behind them and learn a bit more about the artists and songwriters we have here. We're going to turn back to Roger Beckett now. And Roger, let's talk about some of the venues that you've performed at. What are some of your favorite venues where you felt that magic, you felt the the acoustics of the room, and that has have made for a really interesting performance.
In Toronto, the Moonshine Cafe, I really like nice intimate atmosphere. I have played played last year actually at the I attended a workshop in Toronto called Song Studio. That's every year in July.
Right.
It was held at the Royal Conservatory, and I was in the showcase at the end of the Song Studio. And the showcase was actually held at Hugh's room.
Okay.
And so I played my song, which I had written actually for the City of Pickering, called Pickering, You're My Home, and I play that. And it was so cool to play on stage because I had Rick Emmett. I wrote a part that I wanted a guitar solo, a lead solo in there. And Rick Emmett played the guitar solo for me.
That's amazing.
And oh, it was amazing. It was such a great experience playing with Topher Scott. Topher Scott was playing drums and Alice Bradley on the piano and Steve Goldberg played bass. And it was such a great feeling playing with them, all these great musicians. And when I got off the stage, actually, Rick Emmett actually gave me the pick, the guitar pick that he played my solo with. Yeah, it's a
wow. That's one of those things you're going to hold on to,
well,
right?
Well, absolutely. So I have those. And I think as you go through your musical journey, you have all these special moments that you hold on to and you remember, and all these people in your life that have influenced you. And as you go along, everyone adds a little bit to your musical influences as you go
yeah.
through.
It's not all about the huge moments where you're looking towards fame or big moments along the way. It's moments like that, right, that just add to your memories.
It's
connections and friendships.
It's the little moments.
Yeah, definitely. That's beautiful. And there's a song idea right there, the little moments. Duets. Who would you, if you could think who comes to mind, do you have any people you'd love to record music with? The two of your voices would blend well together?
Yeah, sure. Krista Earle.
we have another duet planned for Krista,
but I think duets are wonderful, and you know I love harmonies, and I often sing backup harmonies on other people's vocals. I've also played with other songwriters. Because I play other instruments, I tend to back them up as well, especially songwriters. It sounds so great when you can actually add.
Yeah, harmonies are such a big part of songs, aren't they? I mean, I guess it goes without saying, but on certain country songs, you might have Brad Paisley doing a song, When I Get Where I'm Going. Dolly Parton throws in just some background stuff, and it adds a whole new dimension. It brings a lot out in the song.
It's absolutely right. It tends to lift the song. And,
yeah.
Than
it would have been,
yeah. Absolutely.
That's so amazing. I mean, that goes back to even the Kenny Rogers song. This is a full-out duet, but Islands in the Stream, he was in the studio recording it. The Bee Gees had written it, and they were producing it. And he just wasn't finding that it was, you know, this was before it was a big hit, of course, that it was happening for him magically, musically, too. And they brought Dolly Parton in. Someone suggested it. I think it was the producer. And, of course, it went on to make history. Mm-hmm. So that can make a big difference in a record.
Yeah, actually, there is a friend of mine who I met when I was in Nashville. Her name is Star Michelle. And got a beautiful voice. And she is actually somebody I would like to record a duet with, and probably will at some point.
So what song are you going to share with us next, Roger?
I'm going to play a song called Can Hardly Wait, and it's a song on the ukulele.
Okay. This is cool. This is our first ukulele song tonight. Woo! All right. Big hand for the ukulele. And for Roger Beckett on In the Country.
Everybody knows shot tomorrow. No more pain and sorrow. Everyone can see clouds with silver lining. The world has stopped fighting, and I can't.
From Roger Beckett, and you're right, it's a happy song, and ukulele is a happy-sounding instrument.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who out there else plays the ukulele? Like, who would we know that has taken that instrument and used it? Other than Paul, well, we got Paul here. Paul's raising his hand.
So you mean like...
Yeah, like, who would we know that, who has taken that instrument and made it, you know, used it a lot in their songs?
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim comes to mind.
I think most guitarists and people that we've known, like George Harrison and all, have all played ukulele at some point, and they've used it in their music too. I don't think it's like a widely known fact that a lot of these musicians
have recorded a flavor
song, yeah, because we know them so well as what we see them as. But no, I think and it's a great instrument. It's a great instrument actually to learn, for children to learn, because it teaches them a lot of things. I know they teach recorders in school and all that. But I'm sure they would be way cooler to give them early.
Definitely. Thank you, Roger Beckett. Let's turn over to Dean Stacey.
Oh, thank you, Dave.
It's great. We are here on location in Mississauga, Ontario, at Paul Melissa Studio. And it's a great evening here. Krista Earle, Roger Beckett, Dean Stacey, and Paul Melissa, of course. Dean, let's turn to you now. Who in the music business would you love to work with? Whether it's they would produce an album or a song of yours, or you would sing together with them. Who comes to mind from that long list of artists?
Sing together? Sarah Evans.
Sarah Evans, nice. Yeah, she's got a great country voice. Remember one of the guys?
If I could, I think I'd like to work with Jeffrey Steele. That would be cool.
Yeah, get in on a songwriting session.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Like that's ever going to happen.
Wish it.
And it will become...
Yeah. I don't know if my wisher is that strong.
Now, there's a great song title. I don't know if my wisher is that strong. Earlier tonight, we were throwing out lines, too, and about every fourth or fifth line, it was like, that would be a title or a song, yeah. So,
how big is your wisher?
I'll never tell.
Oh, my goodness. We are rocking here. And we're talking with Dean Stacey. The Moonshine Cafe. Talk about the experience. I've been there several times watching the NSAI nights, and you've been there a lot of times. What's it like performing there?
Oh, the Moonshine is great. It's a very intimate venue. It's a lot like the Bluebird. In fact, John has said that he kind of modeled the place after the Bluebird in a way. It's a small, intimate venue, and John's great. He's awesome.
And he's a singer-songwriter himself.
He is, and he's a great supporter of live music in the area.
Yeah. Because NSAI has a monthly night there where I think it's four of you perform, and you do a round similar to what we're doing tonight. They go around, and you each talk and sing, and it's a great chance.
Oh, yeah.
Great chance to check out new artists and hear the stories behind the songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's a very talented songwriter himself.
So what song are you going to share with us now, Dean?
I'm not sure. I could do the brave and not incredibly intelligent thing and go for one that's brand new, or I could go for one that's a little more familiar.
Should we take a vote?
New.
Who's for new?
New.
New. Yeah. Somehow, if I knew if there was a vote, it would go that way. All right. Incredibly
the pressure
new,
is on.
Not so intelligent. In fact, this thing's like hours old.
All right. Brand new from Dean Stacy. On In the Country.
Incredibly new, not so smart for radio.
I slammed the front door, slammed the car door, slammed my foot down on the gas. Throwing stones, tore out the drive, on a gone for good path. Spun that radio dial, looking for rock and country, so gone song. You'd think I'd find at least one, but something weird was going on. Every song had a broken heart, tragic end to a real good start. MFM end to end, telling me I should think again. The way I had this drive planned ain't quite how it worked out. I turned on the radio and the radio turned me around. A few dusty miles, a little time, I started to cool off, heard the words in all those songs, started having second thoughts, baby cutting out and running wasn't the best way to handle this at all. I'd almost swear those DJs knew just what we were going through. Every song had a broken heart, a tragic end to a real good start.
Didn't forget any words.
I knew. Well, they are sitting there right in front of me.
That does help. That is a catchy song. I like it. That is, I could hear, you know, a big artist doing that, and you did a great job on it, but it just
thank
sounds.
Thank you very much.
Just sounds, and is it called The Radio Turned Me Around?
You know what is so new, I haven't decided that yet.
Okay. That's just a suggestion, but. It sounds great. Very catchy, and yeah, I love that. What a great night we've had here, and we're going to continue on. But Krista Earle, Roger Beckett, Dean Stacy, and Paul Melissa in the country, our very first ever on-location show. We're at Paul Melissa's studio in Mississauga, Ontario. So we're just going to open it up. We've got everybody here. I'm just going to throw this out to anybody here. Is there a song that you've recorded, played live, that somebody afterwards has told you that song was a reflection of their life? Maybe help them move on from something or inspire them to do something. I'll just throw that out to anybody.
Yellow.
Not all at once.
Yeah, not specifically encouraging or something like that, but general feedback that I get from certain songs that people say they love to listen to. A lot of some of the upbeat stuff that I write, people want to dance to the. Like, I get people saying, I've been listening to your song all day, wanting to dance to it, and
right.
Everything like that. So that's kind of cool. There's also songs like some of the more emotional love ballads and stuff like that, which, yeah, I've gotten really good feedback on as well. And saying it helps people through something or something, which is interesting because sometimes when we write a song, it's almost like we talked about earlier, it's kind of therapeutic for us. Like,
right.
If it's an experience we've gone through. So it's interesting to have someone kind of go through your own song, kind of experience that emotion, and you're kind of helping them as well.
Yeah, to know gone through it and they've gone through it as well.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And you're talking about sort of the upbeat songs. I mean, that's just as important. Not all songs are going to be meaningful songs that are going to help somebody through a tough time. Maybe just a happy song makes them feel good.
But just a happy song, it makes them feel good. And that's what, you know, you want to make people happy with your music and to make them feel good. So
who here's got a song that they sing, whether it's one of their own or a cover song that moves you when you sing it, that you kind of get chills, maybe a tear to the eye, but you're really emotionally moved when you sing it?
Surrender.
I like that choice.
Surrender.
Chris is going to get top billing on this show. Right after Paul.
Surrender. He's talking about it. Go ahead. Say it again.
Surrender.
Oh. Music to my ears.
Didn't you write that?
I did, actually. Thank you for reminding our
listeners,
Paul.
Are we plugging the show or are we plugging the song?
Oh, a little bit of both.
Good. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what, though? It's funny how you ask that question, but there's so many songs you perform live, whether it's your own or somebody else's, and when you got that audience reaction when they join in, you know, I have a song called One Step Closer, and it's all about the family being there, that summer family, and I performed it live, many different sort of opportunities, and I get the audience to join in, I get them to repeat the words, you know, One Step Closer,
yeah,
and they join in, and it's really cool because they're really getting it. And then all of a sudden I break, the music stops, the whole band stops playing, and I get them to be part of the song. And
nice.
They're singing it with me, and it's really a great, you know, feeling when the audience is singing it back at you as well as with you. It's pretty cool.
Dean, I'm going to ask you specifically about rewriting. How important is that to a song, to know that you're not done? Maybe, you know, people do sit down and write a song in an hour, but to know you need to come back to it and to improve it.
Rewriting is not a bad thing. My last song was a complete rewrite. I'd written that song before, and you know, after a few tries with it, I just didn't like it.
Right.
But I still liked the idea, so I hung on to the idea and rewrote the song. So, you should never really call a song done unless somebody's picked it up and put it on their CD.
Exactly. I think the old saying used to be, it ain't final till it's vinyl.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure what the new expression is.
Yeah.
Now,
whether
that rhymes with download or
whether
digital,
that means you've recorded it for yourself or somebody has, you know, another artist has actually picked it up. But, I mean, there's always an opportunity to go back and possibly make that song better.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, you know, it really is all about the song.
Has anybody else here had that experience where you've gone back to a song and made it better, Krista?
Yeah, that's what I did with I'm Done. And it was that song was actually written 2 years ago, and then I started working with a new producer and writer as well. And so we took the song because it was kind of put, you know, kind of on the back burner. But it still had enough that we knew it could be, had great potential. So we started working on it again, and it's kind of an ongoing joke. When is I'm Done going to be done? So it's like, yeah, it's funny. We're still like, we're still finishing up the mix.
I'm not yet done.
Yeah, yeah. When's I'm Done done? So anyway, so, but yeah, I think a song always says it. I mean, it's like the saying, an artist never really finishes their painting, right? So you're always looking back at what can you change? You abandon it, basically, right? But I don't know. You have songs that you're writing and they kind of go on the side and they come back into your mind and you know what I mean? Sometimes it's just, whether it's not, you're not feeling that moment or something like that with the song and goes to the side, but you somehow end up coming back to it with a fresh idea or something. So.
Well, that's also why you never throw anything away. I mean, you've got your little writer's hookbook and whatnot, and you may have tried to do that before and, as far as you're concerned, failed.
Right.
But you never know when the day's coming where it's going to get into your head and you're going to go,
oh my God, I know how to do that now.
I think it's important.
Yeah, well, or you're in the studio and we're sitting there. We're recording recently a new song, and all of a sudden you're working with the music and all that stuff. And Les actually said to me, he said, you know, I don't know about that word or something like that. And you just all of a sudden, one word can change in the whole song, and you just rewrite it in a sense of one word.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen just because it just it flows better. Once the music's going and everything's feeling in the song, you know, it could be the and what, here or there, anywhere. And just that one little word can change the whole dynamics of a song because, it's, you know, it's just something that works better.
Right.
Perspective.
Yeah, yeah, it can be a slight change, but that makes all the difference, right?
Yeah.
That slight change.
Yeah.
Have you had songs you've rewritten, Paul, revisited, and you've been able to resurrect them?
Yeah, you know what? Every song feels like it's a, you know, it's been redone in that sense. You know, it's because you're always feeling there's an improvement for a song. You always want to make it the best you've ever done, and that's always the unique part about songwriting. Let alone being a musician, you always want it to be the best you've ever done.
Yeah.
And your best can be as good as your best. And you know, sometimes you go back and look at a song, or I'll sit there and go back and say to John, what do you think? You know, here's the song right now, redone. What do you think of this? And he might say, you know, Paul, I love it. And, no, let's try this line in that, you know, verse.
Yeah.
And you might do it. You might try it. Or you may just say, you know what? I'm okay with this. And he may go, yeah, I'm okay with it. And that's what happens sometimes in songwriting, especially when you're co-writing with somebody. You got to, there's that initial little fight, yet alone there's that, there's got to be some kind of companionship in the whole song, and it's got to work together.
Right. Yeah. When you first start writing with somebody, you may not know them well, if you haven't known them prior to that in another, you know, aspect of your life. And it's a vulnerable thing, right? Because you're throwing out lines that might not be that good, but you don't want to be in a situation where you're only going to say something out loud if you think it's good. You want to be able to be unfiltered.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it's a bad line, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and be trusting enough that the other person, you know, is just going to run with it or...
And
you
gotta
not laugh too hard.
And you have to be accepting of the person you write with, too, because you don't want to feel like you're insulting somebody that you're co-writing with, too.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I don't like that line. But if you got a good relationship, both of you can, you know, dig deep and go, okay, you know what, you're right. That line wasn't good, and I like this line better. And if you're going to work together, then that's the beauty of a relationship, especially when you're co-writing a song together or an album together.
Okay, we've heard about Paul's celebrity encounters with Phil Collins and the legendary Paul Williams. Anybody else here have a celebrity encounter, whether it's from the music world or an actor, actress? Anybody met anybody famous? Or is Paul the only one who knows all these celebrities?
Well, I met Dave Woods today.
All right.
Hey, yeah.
That qualifies.
I like that.
Good answer. Let's talk about critiques, song critiques. You go to the NSAI, you go to Tin Pan North, and you're critiqued on songs, even the best of writers, I'm sure, are, and on songs they believe in. But let's talk about your experience. Just throw it out there, whoever wants to start, and a song that you've had a critique on and how you took it. And did you change the song, or did you think, well, I'll get another opinion, because obviously everybody has a different opinion.
Actually, you know, I'll tell you a little story about a song. There was a song that John and I co-wrote together and sent it down to Nashville to NSAI. And waited for the critique, because it takes a little while. You can, you know, you send the song down, you wait for the critique to come back. And it came back, and it was good, but it wasn't as positive as I thought it would be. And the first thing John said to me was, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. So, I, you know, it is, with all due respect.
They don't know what they're talking about.
I think you have to remember when you're getting a song critiqued, you have to also be open to the fact that it's an opinion. And it's an opinion of, you know, it's no different if I listen to a song that you wrote, Dave.
Yeah.
And you said to me, Paul, what do you think of it? And I could say, great song, Dave, but I don't like the chorus, I don't like the bridge. And you got to be willing to accept that critique, or not at all.
Exactly.
So it's, but critiquing is only part of the craft. It's an opinion. And if you listen to the opinion, then that means you're open to growing as an artist, I think. And you can take it, you can say, you know what, I don't like it, or you can sit there and go, okay, well, that made a point. And it just makes you look back at what you've done and what you've written.
Sure.
And kind of go, okay, well, should I look at it differently or no? So it's just, it's opening your mind to that opportunity of someone else's opinion.
That's not something you need to get defensive about. You might not agree. Like you said, you stay open. It might just make you, just support that or believe in it that much more. You know, you're going to look at it and say, no, I don't agree with that. It's going to stand. But at least consider it, because you might have three different, and I'm sure many of you have gone through this, but maybe three different critiquers, and they might all pick out something different. So it's not like everybody has the same comment for improvement.
Yeah. It's when you all pick out the same thing, you know it's time to look at it and make a change.
Right. That's a good point, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if you're getting more than one person saying the same thing. But as you said, Paul, it's one person's opinion, and you consider it, but if you, I guess, believe beyond that, you keep it to... Has anybody changed anything?
You also have to be honest with yourself about what level your writing is at. I mean, you know, if you're just starting out, you got to pay attention to what these people are saying. They're not doing this to be mean. They're not trying to break your heart because you handed them your little baby and they gave it back to you and said your baby's ugly. They're trying to help you to learn. I mean, my first critique I got was from my mentor down in Nashville, Mr. Mark Allen Barnett. And I went into that knowing full well that I suck. Or at least somewhere in that neighborhood. And sure enough, he came back, and, you know, he was very diplomatic about it and very nice about it, but he made sure I knew that I sucked.
Right.
But
in so many words,
you have to be aware of that before you can get past it.
Right. So you need to know you're at a level where, yeah, you should listen to a lot of this and make changes, or maybe you just need to consider it.
It depends on what your level is. I mean, if you're down there at the beginning, and we all started there. I mean, you know, for all I know, I might still be there. But you know, when you're at that level, it pays to pay attention to what people are saying. People that have, you know, gone before you.
Yeah. As we get set to wrap up here on this on location edition of In the Country, I'm going to give you a chance. As we'll go around to Roger, Dean, Paul, and Krista, and just sum up what it is you love so much about music, songwriting, and performing. All of it, all of this thing you do that you all have so much passion for. Maybe in a couple of sentences or more, just talk about your love for music.
I think music is who I am, and I have to do it. And if I don't, I'll probably die. I know it sounds a little dramatic. It sounds a little dramatic, but,
songwriters are dramatic, aren't they?
Everybody knows. And it sounds very sad. I know one of the things about songwriting is doing these cliches, and this all sounds very cliche. But it is very true, and I think we all have things that we're passionate about in our lives. And my advice to everybody out there would be to find something you're passionate about and do it as much as you can. You know, you may not do it in your day job, you may not do it, but we all have those things, those dreams that we have, and those things that we reach for and we want to be. So, you know, someday when you're 80 years old and 90 years old, you'll wake up one day and say, God, I did all those things that I wanted to do.
Yeah. Instead of saying, what if?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Dean, what about you?
I think you'll get kind of a similar response from just about any songwriter. I mean, it's no matter how they start. I mean, I started playing guitar and stuff and to get into bands and to get chicks.
Really?
It didn't work that way, though.
Really?
No, but, you know, you get into it, you start learning, and it becomes a part of you. It's something you can't not do. I mean, you know, and I did the day job thing, and all the gear went in the closet, but every once in a while, I'd keep pulling it back out.
Yeah.
And then it would go back in, and then I'd pull it back out. You never stop doing it. So eventually, I pulled it out. And now my wife complains because it's taken off a corner of our kitchen. But, you know, it comes down to a point where, you know, I'm going to keep pulling that out of the closet. Why not just take it out, keep it out, and get serious about it and see what you can do with it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that won't leave you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Even though you might have times in your life you want to put it to the side or need to, it comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. Paul?
You know what? I'm listening to what Roger and Dina both said, and it's so true about believing and feeling everything that you've done in your life, musically especially, because it's such a draw to be able to play, number one, a musical instrument, to write a song and complete a song and to be able to share that with people. It's such an amazing dream. And to share that dream with people and to have a response from an audience and from people and your friends and your peers, or to write a song to somebody you love and to share that with them and to have that acknowledgement, it's an amazing accomplishment.
Mm.
You know, I wrote a song recently called Your Smile and co-wrote it with John. And it's funny because your biggest fans are usually the people who are most closest to you. My mom and dad, my dad keeps complimenting how he's listened to the song about 5,000 times now.
Right.
And he says, I lie in bed and all they ever hear is the song in my head.
Mm.
So, you know, if you've touched somebody with one of your songs, whether it is a family member or somebody who you don't even know, it's a gift that you've been given. So enjoy it, embrace it, and have fun with it.
That's great. Great, Paul. Krista Earle, we're going to give you the final.
Over here. I started and I finished it.
Yeah.
No, it's exactly true what everyone else has been saying. I mean, everyone has their certain passions. Music is ours. We're creative people, and that's how we express ourselves, and we channel it through music, through songwriting, through performance, and all those aspects. And I think everyone has their different passions, and this is one for me that I couldn't picture myself doing anything else. So I live and breathe it, and it's how I express my emotions, and in a way, it's most rewarding when it's not just about you. We're doing what we do for other people as well. That's the most rewarding thing,
yeah,
is to perform and to move people and to, you know, help people in some certain way, whether make them happy or hopefully not making them cry, but with some sad song.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's the most rewarding thing, and that's what we're able to do with what we love to do. So it's a win-win.
That's great. Wow. What a night this has been here at Paul Melissa Studio. Let's have a big hand for everybody. You guys have been great. The songs and the stories, and a big thank you to all of you for this, my first ever on location in the country show. It's been terrific to get out here, and I want to thank all the guests tonight, Paul Melissa, Dean Stacey, Roger Beckett, and Krista Earle. We have covered lots of topics and, again, shared lots of songs. It's been a really special evening. Thanks again, everybody, and I'm sure we'll do this again soon. All right, let's wrap up this edition of In the Country. And a big thank you and a round of applause to Les Graham for recording all the great sounds we heard here tonight. Until next time, I'm Dave Woods.